The only good thing I found out about that, Moses wrote that, that we have 7 years, and he lived to be 145. But why should the Lord give you another year of life? Maybe this would be the year to rededicate yourself to him. So, I'm going to try this now. I've never done this before. Did it work? Ah, good. Okay, except, if you'll pardon me, and I'm just overloaded with electronics here, I can't see that. So I have another copy in front of me. Just bear with me. So here at Grace of Truth, we have various assembly meetings. Worship meeting, prayer meeting, ministry meetings, Bible study. Each different, each with a different purpose. And the one I want to talk about today is the worship meeting, which we call the worship meeting, the Lord's Supper, morning meeting. It has a number of names, but that's the one I want to talk about today. And when we talk about worship, that's what I want to talk about. What is worship? Worship is when worship goes up. We're in worship meeting. We are talking to God, to the Lord Jesus, thanking him. You thank him for this universe, for where we live. Thank him that we live in this country where we are free. Thanking him for that sacrifice for our sins. So worship goes up. Prayer also goes up. When we have prayer also goes up, but usually in our prayer meetings, although we are worshiping God, we're also asking for things. You know, my brother is sick, my friend is sick, someone needs a job, someone needs this. We all have needs. And we know that God is a supplier of all those needs. And we're told that. Ask and you shall not want. That's what we do in prayer. We ask. We ask the Father, in the name of Jesus, would you do this? God always answers prayer. Unfortunately, sometimes the answer is no. Or sometimes our prayers get answered, but they seem to take an awful long time. And you sort of wish God would hurry up. But, you know, and we feel that way. But we shouldn't really feel that way. We should let things come out in God's time. But we're humans, and we want things done. Ministry is about God, and ministry is person to person. This is what this is today. This is ministry, person to person. Talking to you. Ministry is about, could be about church matters, could be on scripture, whatever it is, but it's person to person. Bible study. The Bible is given to us. Do you ever think about what an amazing book the Bible is? It's lasted so many thousands and thousands of years and comes to us, and we can go to a store and we can buy small ones most likely for $5 or $10. Thousands of years of knowledge placed in one book that God has preserved all through those years for us. His word to us. And even, I think, because some doubting people, the Dead Sea Scrolls appeared. And those who said, well, you know, the Bible is just written by men. We don't think it was written then and then and then. Daniel was the one, and I preached on Daniel quite a few times a few years back. And when the Dead Sea Scrolls came out, the most accurate book and the one that was attacked the most because it was so accurate about the future, they said Daniel couldn't have written it. And that here in these Dead Sea Scrolls, that was the most accurate of all the books in the Old Testament. But what I want to talk about today is, more and more, is the worship meeting. Didn't work that time. Oh. It did. I'm expecting it to move mine too, but it won't. But the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. When Paul, who was not there, but Paul, who got so much divine inspiration from the Lord, came up with this. Do this in remembrance of me. So I just want to tell you that, and I'm going to talk here today just about the Lord's Supper, I am not inviting you to the Lord's Supper. That is not my place. If you are a believer, you are already invited to the Lord's Supper. The Lord has asked you, do this in remembrance of me. I'm not the one inviting you. I'm just here. If you're not attending the Lord's Supper, I'm here to say to you, take the invitation. But I'm not the one doing the invitation. I want you to realize that. Okay. This isn't working very well at all. I'm just going to have to turn around. Before I continue on talking about the Lord's Supper, I've been asked, a friend of mine asked us to give a distinction between the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Table. So let's start with the Lord's Table. The Lord's Table is mentioned in both the New and the Old Testaments. The Lord's Table. In Malachi, where Malachi is chastising some of the priests in the time, in the last book of the Old Testament, the Lord's table is synonymous with the altar of sacrifice, and he's saying that it's been not treated well by the priests at that time. Also remember in Psalm 23, a table before me. It's not a literal table, but it is a total of God's provision for his people. As believers, we all sit at the Lord's table. The Lord's table is not a table you can touch. When we set up in the morning, we use this table over here. It's not the Lord's table, just a table. And on that we put the bread and the wine, and it sits there. But we could do that anywhere. If we have older people in a nursing home, we can take the bread and wine to them. Okay, that's the Lord's Supper. They're already at the Lord's table because they are believers. So no believer has to go to the Lord's table. He's already there. And you're getting the riches of God's grace at that table. And all believers are participant and partakers at the Lord's table. From the minute you're saved, if it was 10 minutes ago or 10 hours ago or 10 years ago, you are at the Lord's table. An illustration of this might be Mephibosheth. Good, I got it out once. I'm not going to say it again. Now you know who I mean. And it says that he did eat continually at the king's table with David. And David brought in Mephibosheth. He did eat continually at the king's table. Well, that didn't mean he sat there 24 hours a day and ate. But what it meant was, okay, that whenever he wanted to eat or when it was mealtimes, he would go to that table. But he was under the protection of the king. David's provisions were continually at his disposal, just as God's provisions are continually disposable to us as believers, because we are at the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper is one that we spread before the Lord in order to do him honor. We do this in remembrance of him, remembrance of his death. We proclaim his death. All believers are participants and partakers at the Lord's table. Does it not hold that all believers should be participants and partakers at the Lord's Supper? Let's say, for example, you were invited to a lecture. You got an invitation in the mail. The king, as I knew him, maybe the king of England or whatever. And then the next day, you get an invitation from the king of Cell, asking him to come dine with you. Which invitation would you accept if both of these dinners were at the same time? Well, who is inviting us to the Lord's Supper? The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's asking us to be there. As believers, I think we should be. So the Lord's Supper is mentioned only in the New Testament. And at the Lord's Supper, he receives from us. He receives our praise at the Lord's Supper. That is what we are there to do. That's the meeting, the Lord's Supper. And like I say, we all call it, it's the worship meeting. It's where you worship the Lord. I'm going to get this. Okay. The symbolism at the Lord's Supper, if we had this, the table would be here. There's a loaf of bread here. There's wine here and two cups that the wine goes in. The bread. The bread is to symbolize the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bread is broken. It is sent out amongst the believers at the meeting. And that says, and it was mentioned at the worship meeting this morning, this took place. This is what Jesus did on the night before he died. He broke that bread, and he passed it one to another and asked them to continue to do this in remembrance of him. And that has been done through the centuries, not through the years, through the centuries. Believers have gotten together, broken bread, and had wine. Now, there are some theories about the bread and the cup. Oh, sorry. The remembrance of his, we're supposed to remember the remembrance of his person, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, what he did for us, the sacrifice he made for us, his life on earth. And even more than that, what he does for us now, what he did for us before he came to earth. Without him, nothing was made. The discerning of the body of Christ. Now, this gets into these things I'm talking about. What did he mean when he said, this is my body, this is my blood? Now, there are four theories on this, and I'll go over them. I've done this before. Actually, I did two of them when I spoke a few months back. One of these theories is transubstantiation, that when Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, that when he broke that bread and poured that wine, that it literally became the actual body and blood of Jesus. So when Jesus broke the bread and drank the wine, he was actually eating his own body and drinking his own blood. And to this day, that's practiced in some of the churches in this area. However, there's no support for this in the Word of God. He also said, I am the door. Was he literally a door? He said, I am the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. It's an analogy. We're not really sheep. We're like sheep. But we aren't sheep, we're people. Okay? There's also another theory called consubstantiation. This came with Martin Luther because he condemned transubstantiation. And just let me read you my note here. He prayed, he held that after the prayer of consecration, the bread and wine remain the same, yet in some mysterious way, the body and blood of Jesus are communicated to the partaker, whether he is a believer or not. And consubstantiation, transubstantiation is, to me, is sort of outrageous, but at least I can understand it. Consubstantiation is strange to me, but I can't understand it. There's another one called impanation. It says, and this one states, that Jesus is spiritually present in the bread and wine, and it spiritually transfuses us, just as if it penetrated our bones and marrow. Another one that is not supported in the Word. What I believe is the true thing is the bread and wine, they are a memorial of Christ. I believe this is a scriptural view. When we look up here at the bread and the wine, we see bread and we see wine, but they are symbols or emblems of his body and his blood. And when we sit here in the morning and look up here, we're reminded of the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, what happened to that body, and how that blood was spilled for us, for our sins, that this went through. But they are not literally that. Also, at the meeting, we're proclaiming his death. We're proclaiming, announcing his death to him, to the world, to the heavens, to ourselves. Jesus died for us. And this is what we say when we speak and when our worship in that morning. And also, there is the anticipation of the Lord's coming. Because we are to do this, the Lord's Supper, to do this till he come. And we're reminded of that of every time. Every time we come up, we have the bread, we have the wine, we're reminded that we won't be doing this forever. The Lord will come. Then we won't need to do that anymore because we'll be with him. The place. This is procedures. Where can we have the breaking of bread? And a lot of that, it's not by rule, it's a lot by custom. We have ours here. We have things set up, but like I say, it could be anywhere. It could be off when someone is ill. You could do that if you're at wartime, in wartime and had a group of brethren together. You could break bread wherever you are and, you know, wherever you need to be. All you need is a cup and a loaf. The order, okay? The order of our meetings is, it starts with worship. It can be with song. It can be the reading of scriptures. It can be prayer of worship. When that time is done, when a brother is led to do so, he comes up, gives thanks for the emblems, and they are passed one to another here. There are some details. And I always remember a thing that I was told, don't major in the minors. Like what bread should you use? Should it be leavened bread, unleavened bread? It could be either one. How much bread? Well, I would suppose it would just depend. We have a sister brings in a loaf of bread. It's an unsliced loaf of bread that we have here every day. I was at a chapel in Frostproof. I always thought Frostproof was a great name for a place in Florida. Frostproof. There's a sister. She bakes a little tiny loaf of bread. It's only about this long, about this high. There aren't many people in that assembly. Wine. Do you have unfermented wine? Or do you have fermented wine? It never says. It says Jesus took the wine. Wine, you could take wine to think of grape as grape juice, or you could think of it as fermented wine. And I think that, once again, is a matter of custom. And I know for here, it's been fermented wine, and I imagine it will be till he come. Are there places? I know my brother's goes to a Baptist church in Oshawa, and they use grape juice. And I don't think they're any worse for drinking grape juice than I am for drinking wine. We have cups that we pass one to another. They have those, I don't know if you've ever seen them. They come in a little case, and they're just little, tiny little cups that they pass, that they give each person one. That's fine. If that's... I think it's more health concerns or something like that. I remember someone said, oh, you all drink out of the same cup? I said, yes. Just, oh, is that where you are? I said, no. The Lord's in charge. But they can do that. Doesn't really matter. That's majoring in the minors. Are they breaking bread for the Lord? Are they drinking that wine in memory of the Lord? That's what's important. Is it a memorial to Christ? Ministry. As I said before, the worship meeting is a worship meeting. Worship. It is not a time for ministry. Ministry is person to person. Okay? That can have place in the worship meeting, but it should not be before the breaking of bread. Before the breaking of bread, it should strictly be worship. Worship to the Lord. It all goes up. And someone may come to that meeting. They're prepared with something they'd like to give. That's fine. But it should be after the breaking of the bread. Because our focus should be strictly on the Lord. That's where our focus should be. Our focus should be on Him. Now, as believers, we have certain responsibilities as far as the worship meeting goes. And it sounds simple, but I think it's our responsibility. We should be there. Who asked us? That's where we should be. And I know if anyone ever said to me, well, I know you have all those meetings at your chapel, but I can only go to one. Which is the most important one? I'd say the morning meeting, the worship meeting. To me, that is the most important meeting. It is the one I hate to miss. And I could tell you, when we take off on vacation and we're not here for a few Sundays, I miss the people, of course, but the thing I really miss, the worship meeting. And we don't always get to a place, or there isn't always a church where they have a worship meeting like that. I wish they did, but they don't. We're quite privileged, I think, to have that. I have not been at too many other assemblies for worship meetings. Frostproof, and I was sort of surprised at the time, and I'm sure it's just another thing of custom. One person, that when one person breaks the bread, that person goes and sits down, and usually a second person comes up and gives thanks for the wine. I don't know. I thought it was unusual, but once again, I don't want to major on the minors, that kind of thing. So you should be there, and then be there on time. And I have to tell you, I was one of the worst at this. And a certain lady that I drove with was always saying to me, we're late again. And then it just dawned on me, yeah, I am. So I used to set my alarm clock for, I figured if I set it at 8 o'clock, I could be here by 9:30. No, I can't. So I changed it. I set my alarm to 7:45. And lately I'm thinking I'm going to have to make it 7:30. Because I don't know, and I don't want you to think I'm getting old or forgetful of anything. But I cannot tell you how many times I drive out of my driveway on my way to somewhere when all of a sudden I have to go back because I forgot my phone, I forgot a prescription I was supposed to take, I forgot a thing I was supposed to take back to the store, I forgot my shopping list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do the same thing on Sundays. It's awful, isn't it? Although this morning I did not have to go back. But by the time I had everything together, I wasn't as early as I wanted to be. Set that alarm clock back 15 minutes. Can you do with 15 minutes less sleep? I think so. And to be here on time. You should be prepared. I was talking to Mrs. Lynn earlier, and she was saying her father wouldn't allow any fooling around on Saturday night. He said, you should be spiritually prepared to go to the morning meeting. That could be whatever. And I don't want to give you a lot of suggestions because I hate to be one of those do as I say, not as I do people. But I try to be prepared when I get here. Be reverent. Because we are here, we are. The Lord is with us. I mean, if the Queen of England came in and she was talking to you or just sitting with you, you wouldn't be fiddling around with this and that. You'd be listening to her. Well, we are. We're talking to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And we have to be focused on this. And it takes a bit of self-discipline. Thinking, well, it's 17 minutes after, in 3 minutes, I hope he's going to be done, because I want to go. Where are we going to go for breakfast this morning? Should we go home? This is the question we have every week. Should we go home, or should we go to this restaurant, or something like that? Should we do this? Well, in the morning meeting, that's not the time to be thinking about that. Not the time to be thinking about that, not to be kind of thinking about meals, and what you're doing next week, or this and that. You should be concentrating on the Lord. And I work at that, although I'm often distracted as, like I say, I'm just a human being. Two more responsibilities. Join in on the praise and worship. That can be giving out a hymn. That can be reading some scripture. That can be giving praise to the Lord. Or just being there. Listening, paying attention, and being a part of that meeting. And a quote I got from a book, worship is the Christian's highest calling. What did God create us for? To worship Him. And that's what we should be doing. So thank you for putting up with me for all this time. I'll close in prayer as soon as I get some of this water. Oh, that was the other New Year's resolution I was going to give you. Seriously consider attending the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. And if you have not done that before, I would really urge you to talk to one of the elders, go through what the procedures are, find out what they are, and come into the morning meeting. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you that you've given us a new year, another year to continue on in service of you. We look at the prayer list from earlier before, and we set up our pleas to you for the health of those on that list. Pray that They can be comforted. Their pain can be eased. They could be healed. And if it is according to your will. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. And ask that you grant them that peace that you have, the peace beyond all understanding in dealing with these losses. We thank you again for this chapel, for the Sunday school we have here. Thank you especially for the Lord Jesus, all that he has done for us, the sacrifice that he's done for us, the salvation of our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.